This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Welcome, welcome. This is episode 3 of the Diva Chronicles. Felicia George with
Natasha Hastings.
And today.
Oh, today.
We're going to be delving into the process of getting in shape. Highlight on the word process. Because I think a lot of people think, you know, this joint happened like overnight. A snap of your finger. And it just really doesn't happen like that.
At all.
So I think the biggest thing, at least what made me like be interested in this topic, is I think most people don't realize a lot of athletes dislike training. And you
count
know
me in.
Yeah, I'm definitely like that. So training is just like a necessary evil that has to happen
right. So
that I can compete well. But I will say the one thing that I absolutely love is feeling myself get in shape. Mm. So starting the year off, like base season, and mm-hmm. we all know base is like death. And so you're doing these workouts and it's like literally feels like you're struggling.
Well, wait, let's backtrack for a second because we got to remember sometimes our audience might not be okay. track based.
True, true.
Off season is typically what? November to January-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
And then our season, if you run indoors, is from January to March.
Yep.
And then outdoors, which is what everybody runs, is March through September.
I would say outdoor season, April to... I would even want to say May too.
April, May, yeah. So May April's death. Relay season, yeah. And then May through September.
Yeah.
Episode 1, we talked a little bit about the difference this year.
Yeah.
But that is standard. So November to September, and then we get about a month off.
Yeah.
And then we're right back to the grind.
Yeah.
All right. Shooting it back to you.
Yeah. A month off. People always like freak out when you're like, how much time you get off? And you're like, oh, about a month.
Let's be clear about that. Yeah. A month.
And then sometimes like you take them 2 weeks and then you're like, oh, I feel like I should do a little.
Right. You feel guilty for taking the time off.
A little something. Anyways. So yeah. So then what did we say? November to January.
Yeah.
There's that process of like getting yourself back in shape. Mm-hmm. And usually when you come back, those first few workouts are really, really hard. And you just, like, you're running a bunch of over distance, and you're, like, you're in the middle of a workout. Like, I just do not know how I'm going to do
okay, this. Okay, so I'm just going to stop you right here. And I'm going to stop you right here because for those of you that are new tuning in, Felicia George runs the 100 hurdles. I run the 400, right? So my definition of over distance is a lot different from your definition of over distance.
This is true. This is true. But can I also say something, though? I agree. So... that's why I don't run the 400, because the workouts that I see y'all do don't make no sense to me. But I honestly believe that my lactic acid tolerance is so low. And I think y'all just on a different level than me. So you did them workouts, but I think if you were to feel what I was feeling when I feel lactic, you would, like, looking at me walk when I have lactic in my legs is, like, hilarious. And you actually remember like when we were doing hills earlier this year?
Yeah.
And I'm like walking up and down the street, but I'm bow legged on top of that.
Yeah.
It's a leg sight, but my legs cannot take lactic. So I think I hurt more than you.
But that's not true because you, that day, you handled it better than me.
No, but I was like a week ahead or a few weeks ahead of you in training. That's why.
That's true.
I had already been on the hill like twice.
Yeah, that was my first. That was,
yeah.
That hill is no joke. Which, yeah, by the way, no that joke. Fence is, that hill is fenced off now.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went down there.
Shout out to whoever put that fence up. We ain't going back there next year.
Wow. Big Bertha is fenced off. Oh, yeah, cute. I went down there one day to do some hills on my own and it was fenced off.
Really? Oh, I wonder why.
Fenced off. But, yeah, back to, you know, planning, off season.
Yeah.
And the off season, like I, Felicia, you hit the nail on the head. I hate training. Yeah. I really do. And when I come to practice and coach says 400 or 500, I'm looking at him like he got 6 heads.
Right.
Don't talk to me. Nobody talk to me. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing exciting about this workout, like at all.
But this is what I'm saying. I think there's something mm-hmm. special about
come through with the butt.
Right. I think there's something special about doing those 400 or 500s week one and literally struggling through the whole workout and then coming back week four and doing that workout.
Because it takes 4 weeks, y'all.
Sometimes.
It takes 4 weeks to master that workout.
Right. But crushing it.
Yeah. I can agree. I can agree. And there's definitely a sense of satisfaction when you walk away from that workout knowing, damn, 4 weeks ago.
Right. Right.
And today, I got the workout today.
Right.
I will agree. But the process of getting to week four.
Yeah. But I think a really big part of training, like aside from just becoming physically fit, mm-hmm. is like building your mental resiliency.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So on one end, it's like I'm working through these workouts. These workouts are hard, but I'm getting on the line. I have lactic in my legs. And it's showing yourself, even if I'm hurting, I can still do this. And then in week four, when you're like doing that workout and you're crushing it, that's just confidence.
Yeah.
Like now nobody's talking to you when you step on the line for a race. So I think as much as it's about getting physically fit, it's also about just showing yourself what you're capable of.
I guess, you know what, you're right. Because I have a habit of liking to run with the guys. Mm. So that started in college. And even now, shout out to Mike T. Like, mm-hmm. it's like we used to joke and call each other work wife and work husband. I feel like I have to clear this up now.
People like to be messy.
Oh my God. Messy.com. Yeah. Like it was strictly platonic. We were great work partners and nothing ever happened between us. And like, even if I posted a picture on Instagram of us, like it was like, oh my God, no.
Really?
Yes. Insane. Like a man and a woman can't stand next to each other and
be friends.
Exactly. But, like being able to see like the first week I would be like way behind. Yeah. And then even in the process, cause like sometimes we'll do that workout. Like we're talking week one, week four, but we'll do the workout two or three more times before we get to week four.
Yeah.
So even seeing like the gap close between me and Tinsley or me passing him on one of the reps, like it's definitely a confidence booster that like, okay, I'm out here with Mike T, silver medalist in the 400 hurdles. Like, if I can even be within however many steps, I'm doing all right here. So, I can get with you on seeing the improvement, but man, oh man.
The process sucks.
Does the process suck?
Yeah. But I think that's also an important thing to also just know that, like, you have to learn how to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's like another big part of just training.
Yeah.
Like how can, like every day isn't sunshine and rainbows.
And you're talking about everything from when coach says on the line and you still have lactic in your legs.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
From lining up next to someone that you're like, Jesus, she's about to drag me. And I don't, not today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think track is an interesting sport in the sense of, like, you feel yourself losing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's interesting to be next to someone and just feel them pulling away from you or feel somebody like, and that's a positive and a negative. And cause it's like when your ego comes in and you're like, you know what? I'm tired, but I ain't gonna let nobody like just show out on me right now. So, I mean, I think that's helpful with having training partners to help pull you through.
For sure. Yes, absolutely. But there are days that I actually enjoy like competing by myself or not competing by myself.
Just running
training by myself.
Yeah.
Particularly those workouts. And Felicia, you haven't seen this yet because D2 did a good job of like staggering us this season.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those people, coach wrote the workout a certain way for a purpose, right?
Fair, yeah.
So if we show up and, you know, we got 6 200s and he says 26.
Yeah.
There's always that one overzealous person that jumps out at the beginning of the workout and runs that 24.
Right.
And I'm pissed because I have this, like, this maturity level to know, like, you don't need to be going that fast, but then also this uncontrollable competitiveness that when you take off, I'm telling myself, slow down.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, my legs are still going with you. And now the workout has just gone to me, the workout has gone to waste because if you don't finish the workout the way it was intended to be finished, in my opinion, that's not what the workout was designed to do.
Right.
Like, if it was just for you to run one and like and die, then fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I get on people all the time. Like, all right, D2 said the pace is such and such.
Yeah.
Like, stay within that pace.
Yeah.
So when we do have those days sometimes where it's like race specific or time specific, some days I'm like, I'm gonna do it on my own, because if you throw me off, then I got a problem with you, and then I'm mad because
then we're gonna have to fight.
Fake beef.
Yeah.
But no, so there's I think there's pros and cons to, like, you know, training next to someone and then also being able to, you know, train by yourself, because then there's the other thing where I think in both of our races where, like, you have to be able to stay focused on your race plan no matter what the person on the inside or outside of you is doing. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that I think you learn coming from both running beside or by yourself. Yeah. But yeah, man, I don't like training. This is meant to be motivating, but I don't think I'm doing a very good job. But I'm just, you know, being honest.
Yeah. Well, just speaking to what you were saying, how, like, training with someone or training by yourself. So I think for me, if it's like a technical something, or like you said, we're trying to do something very specific, yeah, I want to do it by myself because I'm going to execute the way I want it to be executed. But there's some workouts where I'm like, this for me is just getting the reps in. Anything 250 and above is me getting
same. And believe it or not, as a quarter miler, anything over 300, I don't know what it is in my head. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do it.
Yeah.
325. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'd much rather run with someone.
Yeah. Just to carry me through. Cause yeah, I know I won't make it. And it's like, especially the times when it's like your short rest, you got to get back on the line. If someone wasn't walking to the line and I'm like, yo, you gotta go. You need to go right now.
So do you have, like, a particular workout that, like, you remember being in that space? And, like...
like, it's horrible at first and then getting better? From this year?
Any point in your career.
I remember, when I first moved to Toronto, so beginning of my professional career. Mm-hmm. 2011, I would say, we did this workout. It was 4 300s, and so we're running it straight, turn straight, and then we had to walk. So then you'd walk across to back to the next straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
That was like
your rest.
Yeah, like, and then maybe you got like a minute at there. So the rest was like no more than 2 minutes rest. And I'm talking, I was getting destroyed. Like, it was just like, you get, I get to two and I'm like, there's no way. This workout will be finished.
Sorry.
It's like, just no way. Impossible. But it was like, and I might have done the workout like 2 or 3 times and just like, nothing's happening. Nothing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so hard. And I just remember like 1 week being like, no. I don't care if I, and I literally was like, I don't care if I die. I don't care if I can't walk. I was like, you are gonna like take every single 300 out and you just ride in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And now that's how I run. I mean, this year it was a little transition back, but usually the way I run anything long is take it out as hard as you can and hold on.
Well, you know, as a sprinter, that's kind of what you have to do because you're just never going to get that energy system back. So,
but you have to not be afraid.
Yeah.
Not be afraid, because the hurt's going to come. And you know, if you take it out, you're like, it's going to like, but if you don't take it out, the hurt's going to be there anyway. Man. So...
talk about being a quarter miler.
You just gotta go with it.
No matter what, you know, it's gonna hurt. So whether you run it slow, and I actually find
slow hurts more
than fast. Like,
you ain't got no momentum carrying.
Slow hurts more than fast.
Yeah.
But I mean, speaking of workouts, this one is kind of it's. I'm going to be talking about somebody, but at the same time, it's speaking to, like, so we had like 8 200s, right?
Okay.
8 200s, but we had 2 sets of 4.
Okay.
And 30 seconds rest.
Between everyone?
Between every 200.
Wow.
So Mike T is like the energizing bunny out there, right? Yeah. Like, he can just keep going. He's that guy that, like, I would get into fights with because we would have, like, repeat 300s be done, and he'd get up and be like, I got another one.
Wow.
And then because he got another one, we all, like, I would cuss him out because
I would be so
I would be livid because I would be laid out. And then the rest of the girls would be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it too. And I'm looking at him like,
why you do that?
Because if they do it now, I have no choice, you know? Yeah. So this day in particular, we had the two sets of four 200s, 30 seconds rest. And so 30 seconds rest, that's literally like you cross the line, you just go back on the line.
Yeah.
Man, I think we had like 5 minutes between the sets.
Yeah. That even is even nothing.
Listen, so we go to do the last set, and all I know is I see Mike T on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Now, at this point, I don't even think, you know, D2 calls out the times. I don't even think D2 was calling times out anymore. Yeah, it was just get
the workout.
Just finish.
Yeah.
So everybody was hurt, like, this was a hurt that I've never, and as a matter of fact, this was the fall of 2013, and I remember, like, this whole fall, I was training with Raisin McIntosh and Stacy Smith, both of them from UT, University of Texas, and I just could not keep up with them at all for the off season, and, like, coming off of 2012, not making it, I was like, yo, maybe I really don't have it, you know, what's going on? So anyway, we come to practice the next day. And Mike T is like, I just want y'all to know that I went home and I was really upset with my teammates. And we were like, what? What happened?
Yeah.
And he was like, I even called D2. I was so upset because
so bad.
Because I was laid out. I didn't even finish the workout. And not one of y'all said, come on, Mike T.
Let's do this.
And so at this point, I'm in tears crying, and I was like, yo, let me tell you how messed up I was yesterday, because I know I said to you, come on, Mike T, get up. You got this.
Yeah.
Like, I remember looking at you on the ground saying, nah, Mike, don't go out like this.
Yeah.
But apparently I didn't have the,
I
couldn't get it out.
Oh my gosh.
It was the funniest thing to me. Like, yo, D2 took our soul that day. Yeah. Needless to say, I don't think we've done that workout. Like, we probably did it one more time after that. Yeah. But Mike T was like, literally, like, he was with a straight face, pissed. Like,
felt some type of way to jump.
Nobody didn't even call me after practice to see if I was good.
Oh,
like, nothing.
Gosh.
I was like, bruh, I went home. I don't even think I made it to the shower when I got home from practice. Like, I was just laid
That's
out.
That's how it goes sometimes. You ain't gotta,
Like, yeah. D2, and that's the thing about D2, like, I do not enjoy his fall workouts, but I have to give it to him. His fall workouts is what gets us through the championships and into September. But man, nah.
She's reminiscing. And in this very moment, she's reminiscing
on
that workout.
The moment, because that was a pain. Ooh. And it's like, I know some people are listening to this, and then, like, middle distance runners are probably going to hear this and be like, what?
Because
that's what they do. They do, you know, their speed work is 200, rest 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I was done.
I
was done.
I wouldn't even fathom attempting that workout.
You would have had to do it. Rogers did it. Rogers was in that group.
Listen. What else are we talking about here?
Oh, on the topic of training partners?
Yeah.
All right. I guess this is a bit of an uncomfortable topic, but, I mean, it's the truth, or one of the things that... How do you feel about training? Like, what do you like your training situation to be like? Do you prefer to train with other hurdlers?
I do. I like having training partners.
Okay.
And I feel like I've run my best when I've been in, like, groups with hurdlers.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I also like having sprinters in my group, too. So same how you say like you're a fast 400 meter runner and you more come from the sprint side. I think my greatest strength in the hurdles is the fact that I'm fast in the flat. And so, and that was a big thing for me, even just coming to D2, is I wanted to be with someone who has coached hurdlers, but also someone who's coached like great sprinters. Mm-hmm. So I just like to line up.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, for me, I'm like more of like just a competitor. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for me to find intensity in practice. Mm-hmm. I'll just give you like, I'll think I'm running hard, but I'm not really like going hard. But when I have somebody lined up next to me, I just want to beat them. So now I'm bringing more to it type of thing. So I feel like just having training partners and being able to line up all the time just helps me bring that.
So, but what I find interesting about that, okay, so first for me, I honestly would prefer not to train with a quarter miler. Mm. I mentioned, I don't remember if it was this episode. I think it was the last episode I said I trained with, or maybe it was the episode that got lost. I trained with Bobby Kersey for a year. So I trained with Allison and I trained with Allison, Nicole Leach at the time. I think we were really the only quarter milers and Nicole Leach was the 400 hurdler. Yeah. But, and that honestly was cool. There wasn't like any beef or anything training with her. But I don't know. If I just had my way of ways and choice of choices, I wouldn't necessarily say I want to train with a quarter miler.
Right. But don't you think there's some benefit in practicing?
I do. But here's the reason why I wasn't like overly excited about Bobby Kersey's program. I like speed. I like sprint. We did not sprint.
Right.
So it was a lot of like 300s, 250s, he loves 400 and 500s.
Right.
But we didn't really sprint. So for me, those are the workouts that I don't like anyway. So it don't matter who I'm running against at that point. Like, I'm just trying to finish the reps. Right. You know, I know I have to get the volume in, hit my time, and that's all I care about. Right. Like, as long as I hit my time, I got the reps in, I'm good. But like, if I line up next to you in practice for some short stuff, for some 200s.
That's, I'm more talking short stuff.
I want to bang that way.
Yeah.
So I never really like had I want to train with another quarter miler.
Right.
So I'm not anti training with a quarter miler, but I never also felt like I need to. But also what I find interesting, or what I think sometimes, is that sometimes when you line up so often in practice, you can actually get burnt out from that.
True. I don't think you should do it all the time. And I think some people, like, they think, oh, just because you have a training partner, every rep is lining up. Because then you're racing all the time.
Yeah.
And I think there's a time and place. There's time to do technical work, time to work on yourself. But I think occasionally, because one of the biggest things is you can executing by yourself is generally easier than executing with someone next to you.
Someone next to you, absolutely.
So to me, the way I see it as a training partner being a benefit is teaching myself how to execute with someone next to me. And a lot of those times, it's not about racing. It's literally just about having someone next to me while I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people get too caught up in, like, I'm trying to beat this person in practice. And I think it's a delicate balance, because I think you have to also be able to not judge what's happening. Because that's not the race. Because I think a lot of people, you begin into like, oh, I beat you or you beat me.
I'm a little different.
Yeah.
I can think of a few instances where, like, again, being the long sprinter and then moving down to train with some of the shorter sprinters, I can think of days where we've like done 30s or 40s and we're coming out of blocks next to each other, and the first one I'm racing,
right,
but because I'm racing,
you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, but I can very vividly think back to walking back to the blocks, and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
she just waxed me. However, I'm about 5 or 6 years older than her. You know where to go, and I literally start going down what I need to do. So like having that moment where it clicks, where it's like, okay, yeah, you want to race her, but before you start racing her, you need to execute.
Right.
And then that little click of a moment is what makes the difference in the workout. Yeah. And like,
yeah.
So I totally get.
But that's competition. But that's teaching yourself how to be in those moments right. with someone next to you and being like, okay.
Because then when you get on the line in competition, you have to be able to go to that space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I think it's valuable to practice that in the same way that it is valuable to practice just executing.
Yeah.
Or just whatever reps you're getting in. But I agree. I think all the time is too much.
Yeah.
Because then it's just, then you're just, you're racing in, during the week and then racing on the weekend.
On the weekend. And I think it's funny because I particularly see that with guys.
Yeah. But that guys just bring ego and all kind of extra stuff.
All kind of extra stuff, yeah. man. But, I mean, we, and me and Mike T, we kind of, I always go back to Mike T, my work husband. But we'll have that conversation sometimes. Like, some days we'll be at practice and, like, we'll know, like, okay, so speaking of the process and everything, like, everything is a training cycle, right?
Yeah.
But then there's also that phase of where we're in a heavy training cycle, but competing.
Right. Ooh. Let go of those expectations.
Listen. So we'll be at practice and literally some of the things that, you know, D2 will, whatever the workout is prescribed, whatever. And we'll just be like, man, I feel like I left my race out here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or we'll go to compete and it won't necessarily be a great day. And it's like, well, I left my legs in the workout on Thursday. And that's one of those moments where it's like, cause
that's hard to,
you want to perform,
yeah.
but you also got to remember like, okay, the big picture is at the end of the year. And then you got people, your sponsors, your agents, your coach, not your coaches. Cause your coaches kind of has an idea of what's happening, but like, what's going on? Why? And like, well, I ran 5 300s on Wednesday. Right. So
yeah. My legs feel have a little something in them.
Yeah. You know? So even that process of like, but that can even be a good thing too. Like knowing that you have those 5 300s on your legs
and then still ran. Yeah.
You know?
So how do you keep your mind on the big picture in the moments? Like, let's say we're not, it's not even like you're in a heavy training load. You're like, I'm racing.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't going good. And that's part of the process too, right? Like, but how do you be like, okay, you know, like, keep your mind where it needs to be?
For me, it's almost like I have to go back to the basics in the sense from everything of like, you hear people say short-term memory, but like literally short-term memory. The example that I can use is like that in between, and I'm sure you can relate to this too, that in between of like right after nationals, in between going to worlds, and you're flat off of nationals, but you want to keep your sharpness going into worlds or the games. And like, I think it was the Paris meet. I finally got to one point where I was just like, don't even sign me up for this meet. Right, like, I'm just not going.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not only just, to me, I think at that point it's the bigger piece is the mental piece is what I'm trying to say.
For sure,
because it's like, you know that race isn't the fitness that you're in or you're just tired.
Right.
But you also know you still got another 6 weeks to go and so compete and you got to peak again and all of those things. So, I mean, I think short-term memory for one, of course, but then also having the discipline to like remember everything that happened, the discipline and the patience to like remember everything that you just went through, your training cycle, and just understanding that you're not going to be able to run at a high level every single time you step on the track. Like there is a method to the madness. So even being able to say, I'm not going to run these couple meets.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and get a good training block in.
Yeah.
That can even be difficult because you're leaving money on the table essentially, but what's the big picture, right?
Right. No, I would say, like, I agree. Like, for me, that's a lot of those things. It's staying disciplined and, like, keeping my mind on, like, okay, what's the ultimate goal here?
Right.
Is ultimate goal winning this meet in Paris?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, you know, performing well at World Champs and running well through the rounds? And so, yeah, sometimes it's hard to kind of take that step back. But I think that comes with maturity.
Being able to see
all of that, for sure.
Yeah, because it's sometimes I think, and this is another topic, but learning even that you are the boss. Mm. So, like, your agent has you in these meets, and it's like, I gotta go home.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. But, you know, your agent is like, no, we need to run these meets. And it's like, well, did you see how I ran in that last race? Like,
so we not. Yeah.
We're not doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even that much, like, exercising your decision making or your voice.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for in those moments.
Yeah. I would even say, like, for me, it's been, like, developing patience over the years. Mm-hmm. And having those moments in the past where I was like, wow, I'm trash. And then coming back, like, maybe, like, a month later and performing.
Yeah.
So having, like, almost proving to myself, like, just because there's a moment or a race that doesn't go the way you want to be, doesn't mean that your whole season is done.
The whole season is done, yeah. So,
like, and I've had multiple seasons like that, or multiple, like, moments where it's like, whoa, like, my legs are loaded, or just didn't execute the right way, whatever. And, like, if you, in that moment, start to judge every little thing, that could be your season if you mentally go to that space. But it's kind of like, you know what? Okay, cool. Like, we're on this path. We're staying through this process. Just keep putting this one step in front of the next, and we'll just keep going. And the fact that I've shown myself that in the past, it's kind of like I can kind of pull on that and be like, okay, like, we're fine. You'll be okay.
So speaking in that sense, like, we started off talking a lot about, like, the off-season training and seeing the process of getting in shape. Like, what is that process for you, like, getting in race shape? Because that's, you know, like, talking about from that very first race, whether you do indoors or not, up until, you know, the nationals and then world championships.
Yeah. So I need to race a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think hurdlers in general.
I've heard most hurdlers say that.
We race a lot. And it's like finding a rhythm. Right. And then I also know, at least in the past and particularly, like, I take, like, I'm not the person who's going to come out first race and, like, blaze.
Blast it.
Same. Like, I'm going to be chipping away and taking steps forward type of thing. So, but I think that always works out in my favor because I'm always ready at nationals and I'm at championships. I'm either going to run a PB or season's best. Mm-hmm. That's happened every year. So I'm always going to be ready when it counts.
Damn.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, let me think.
So, to me, it's like I'm going to be on that, like, slow step.
Yeah.
Up. And I think it's helpful just to know that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so when I come out and my first race isn't fast, I'm like, this happens. You know this. You know that this is what happens. You're going to get faster. Like,
right.
Just keep racing.
Right.
And the hurdles is special because there's always, like, this a moment in the season when, like, it just all comes together. And, and then you ain't even, like, racing's easy at that point. But you just be doing, like, leading up to that point, I'm doing all kind of funky, crazy things. And I think for me, I have interesting issues in the hurdles because I'm on the flat, I'm faster than most.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 5'10". And most of those girls are like 5'2".
Yeah.
So I'm tall and I have a lot of speed in my legs. And so.
And you have to control that in between the hurdles.
All of that. So I can have an amazing race and then come back the week after and I pulled back on two hurdles and I ran horrible. Okay. So I think also just knowing that for me, like, just because I had a bad race, it just could have been two things over two hurdles. And if I fix those things,
but it's so interesting to hear you say that because, and I think every athlete can relate to this, every track athlete that is, that, like, everybody watches the race and it's like, oh man, you went from running such and such last week and then this week you ran blah, blah, blah. Like, what happened? And you're like, literally, it was this one bad step that I made and it was like,
done.
Bomb the race.
Yeah.
Until
you're like super race sharp.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, I mean, a lot has to happen for it to, like, really fall off.
So I wonder something else I thought about while we were talking, because I mentioned 2013, that year, like, I was getting drug in practice. Do you find that, like, sometimes, okay, let me just tell my story and then you tell me what you think about this. So 2013, I was getting drug. Like, I couldn't keep up. I was like, yo, coming home, just crashing. Yeah. Like, it was a tough off season for me. And then I went to my first indoor meet. And I went overseas, actually. And I went for a little while. So I ran, like, three or four races. And much like you said, started off kind of decent, but then I ended the indoor season. I think I ran I ran 50.8 at the last in Birmingham in that indoor thing. Yeah. And but up until that point, like, I was struggling in training. Like, I went over to Europe, like, I don't know what is about to happen here because training has just not been. And so, like, I had those few races, obviously found my rhythm, ended on a great note. And then I think that was probably, like, the second or third fastest because they had European champs after and they ran a little bit faster. But when I came back to train, it was, like, night and day. Training was, like, so much easier. Then it was, like, it flipped where it was, like, they couldn't keep up with me anymore. Do you find that, like, sometimes you'll hit that block where it's, like, you're struggling in training? And I've noticed that several times over the years, too, where it's, like, training is just, like, and I think, I don't know if it's the thing there where it just gets mundane, it gets redundant, and then you go compete, and it's, like, you get to put those things together. And you come back, and training is just, like, that much easier.
But I think racing's always at a higher intensity. So I think there's things that you can find in racing that you will never
absolutely find in practice. Hands down. Like, so,
I agree. And that's the thing. I think sometimes it's beneficial. That's why I like running indoors. Because I never really go out and blaze indoors. But there's things that I find in racing that I won't find in practice. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, now I know this, this, and this. Or now I have this. Now we're going to, like, I'm going to start at a different spot now.
Interestingly enough, because there are some people that, like, literally run four or five races for the year, and they find it in that four or five races, and I'm like, how?
I'm not like that.
I needed four or five to get the cobwebs out. But, and truthfully, I mean, again, talking about things coming with maturity, like, I've definitely come to a place where I could say, the last few years I've been able to run like three quarters and like run a bunch of 200s and then move up to the quarter and then find it. But I'm still not getting away with not doing, you know what I
just
mean?
Just hopping in and like first one, like you rolling. I don't understand.
I don't understand, but there are people that do it. And I don't know if it's like maybe their training intensity is just that high that when they do come to it, but I agree with you wholehearted. Like there's nothing that there's just a certain thing that you get from competition that you cannot get in practice. I don't care who you train with.
I agree. And I think for me, I feel like I'm interesting where same kind of thing. I'll have like seasons where I'm like struggling and then it'll just be 1 week and I step out and from the, like that beginning of that week, it's easy. Like, I feel like I have no like slow progression. It's like horrible. And then you're just like, okay, I can kill this workout now. I'm like kind of weird like that, where it just like happens for me.
Okay. So I mean, it sounds like we the same thing. Like, I think, I don't know, maybe it's just that we get bored with training. And it's like you go and you get that taste of competition and then you come back and it's like a new zest. Because truthfully, like talking about November to January, that's a whole 2 months, almost three technically, because we really don't start competing till the end of January of just running around in circles.
For people who don't enjoy training.
Like, looking at the same people every day. So, all right. I guess that kind of makes sense, but
I feel maybe just like even just like reignite, like, okay, this is why I'm doing it. Like, this, that's what I love. I'm get to compete. Cool. My cabin fever is kind of shaking off. I can go back and do what I need to do. To get where I need to go.
Agreed.
Oh, one thing I wanted to talk about. So for me, cause I feel like previously, I don't know which episode we spoke about this, but you were saying that you see me doing like a bunch of like other stuff. A bunch of little stuff.
Like you went over in the stands today and you were doing some stuff on the bleachers. And,
So this is the way I look at it. I feel like some people, and even in the same way we were talking about, some people come out and just blaze. I think at this level, everybody's talented. Right? So, and the way I look at myself is like, I have all the tools necessary, but I need to do a little bit more to like kind of activate those tools. So in the same way that this is the analogy that I use. There's two students. Both are studying for a test. The outcome, both are going to get an A. One student's going to study for an hour, and one student's going to pull an all-nighter. Destination is the same. Both going to get an A, but the process is a little bit different for those two people. But I think sometimes people, if they don't, they feel like if they have to do a little bit more work or whatever, they're like, oh, well, I'm trash or whatever. But I think it's knowing your process, mm-hmm. knowing what to, and for me, I've had a lot of injuries in the past. Mm-hmm. So I know I have to always be doing my glute activation. That's what I was doing in the stance today. My glute activation stuff. I got to keep my hips in check. Like, yeah. I've learned all the little things that I need to do to keep my body healthy.
Yeah.
I do a bunch of recovery stuff as soon as I'm done working out. And doing all those things, my body's amazing. Yeah. If I skimp on them, I'm going to get injured.
Yeah.
So it's like knowing all those things that you need for your process, not anybody else's process.
Yeah, I guess. Right, you're right. You're right. I mean, I think back to like when I went to college and my last 2 years of high school, I had a lot of injuries. Mm. And then I got to college and I was injured freshman and sophomore year. But I learned that like, even if something doesn't hurt, go to the training room.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess now when you put it in those terms, but it just be seeming like you're just doing a lot.
Yeah. I believe like, in prevention over...
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah, prevention and maintenance is key. And especially at this level, like I tell people all the time, like we're training to do things that technically speaking, we were not made to do.
Right.
So we're asking the body to do some... the inordinate, like it's just insane. So taking care of the body is definitely like,
yeah.
So when I tell my friends, don't call me after 8 p.m. because I'm in bed, there's a reason. My rest is just as important. But nah, girl, it be seeming like you be doing a lot out there.
The thing is, I don't even feel like, I guess to me, that's like my routine.
It's your routine, it's your process.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, as little as I may feel like I do, there have been other athletes, like I can say there were quarter milers that I would look at and I'm like, dang, I'm warming up already. And you warm up
chilling
30 minutes before we go in the call room. And I'm like, I could never.
Yeah.
You know, so I think knowing yourself, but then also the program that you've come from too.
True.
Because a lot of the training comes from what you came through, and I know that there's still some things that I'm doing since South Carolina.
Yeah.
There's still some things that I'm doing from training with Coach Brahman. There's still, like, you pull what works from you from your chiropractor, from your physio, all those things. So I get it. But girl, I'll be like, okay, maybe I need to be over there rolling out with her. Like, maybe I didn't roll out long enough. Let me roll some more.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we touched on a lot.
Yeah. The process of getting in shape, the process of going towards your goals, all that good stuff.
All of that good stuff. Did we want to talk about I guess we kind of talked about competition schedule. Okay. It's episode 3. Just be patient with us. We're figuring it out. But hopefully you guys are learning something. As we learn this process.
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah.
So I am Natasha Hastings and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to up my Twitter game, but Twitter and Instagram at Natasha Hastings.
And I am Felicia George, aka Philly G. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Felicia George, spelled with a P-H-Y. I was named after Felicia Rashad, just to let y'all know.
That's where hers is P-H.
P-H-Y, yeah. But everybody else is F-E. Anyways. Right.
Okay, bye, Felicia.
Oh, God.
We'll see you guys next time.
Toodles.